Well, God bless you and welcome to the old BRC, the Biblical Research Center, on this 1st of January, 1984. This is sort of a different evening because many of our people have left for sound out. Some of you in here will be leaving tonight or tomorrow morning, but I'm grateful you're here tonight. But our organist, Dorothy, is en route, so we got Rhoda, our wonderful Rhoda, at the piano. These are like old times for me tonight, be able to do this with Rhoda and with Walter. I'll tell you what I've arranged for tonight. Some of you are the choir in here. The rest of you just have to enjoy the choir and smile, because we did not have enough of our old hymnals to go around. They should be up about to the divider up in there. But this is the greatest so-called church hymnal, I believe, that's ever been printed. It's the one we used in Van Wert for years and years. And on this first day of January 1984, and since everybody forsook us and left some of us here to hold the fort, I thought we'd just do what we wanted to do tonight.
God gave his son, whom he called Jesus. He came to love, love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. But then God raised our Savior again to live.
Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know, yes, we know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Within our hearts, there's a calm assurance. He's healed our lives in every way. He's seated now with God our Father, but he lives within us this very day.
Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know, yes, we know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives.
Now there's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. And when I'm tossed about, it sends out a light that I may clearly see. And that light that shines through darkness, it will safely, oh, lead us o'er. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would be no more. And can't I thank God for the lighthouse? I owe my life to Him. Christ Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks and depths of sin He has shone His light within me, that I may clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would I be? Even in this year of 1984, you're going to hear people say, you might as well tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships, they don't come this way anymore. There's no need in it just being around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light, yes, the light from the lighthouse that shines up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Christ Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks and depths of sin, He has shone His light within me, so that I may clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would you be? He has shone His light within us, so that we may clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine. Our hands hold together, our hands are in Thine. And this is forever, the purpose divine. Our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine. Great love in our hearts, great power to share. The word over the world, the reason is there. Great love in our hearts, great power to share. We're reaching the world with the word. Yes, the reason is there. Our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine. Our hands hold together, our hands are in Thine. This is forever, the purpose divine. Our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine. Our hearts can reach out, others to enfold. And the word of God, it's great. You know it's healing to the soul. Our hearts can reach out, others to enfold.
and the word of God is so great.
It's healing to the soul. Our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine. Our hands hold together, our hands are in thine. This is forever, the purpose divine. Our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine. Our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine. Our hands hold together, our hands are in thine. This is forever, the purpose divine. Our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine. Our hearts knit together, our hearts entwine.
On this, the opening day of this new year, 1984, for us here, I thought I'd like to teach tonight on the Word of Truth. You can take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3. But before I teach, I want Walter to sing a song. He has blessed my life with this so many, many times in our people. And I thought on this opening Sunday of the year 1984, and since we're left here at International to hold down the fort, it'd be good if Walter would sing that. Walter, sing for them until then.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold His coming. Until the day God calls me home. The things of earth are only temporary. Remember, they are borrowed for a while, but things not seen are made of God eternal. His joy, His peace, His Spirit, they are mine. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold His coming. Until the day God calls me home.
Thank you, Rhoda. In many respects, this is another indication of why we need the Word over the World Auditorium. I thought maybe tonight we'd be back to the curtains here, so you can see where my believing was. But we got them downstairs in the foundation of this place, and then some of the people left and went to the units so they could see and hear the service tonight. So we're jam-packed in the BRC, and we're thankful for that. Tonight, as I said on this opening of the new year 1984, I thought I'd like to teach on the word of truth. You know, the book of Acts, the church, and the pastoral epistles are God's masterwork of genius in writing to us his divine mercy and grace. We are sons of God's eternal love. Everybody almost knows from memory John 3:16, at least if you've been a religious person. You may not know too many verses in Scripture, but about everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Right. In 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, in chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the what? Sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall what? We are sons of God's love. God in Christ did a perfect work for us, fulfilling all of God's claims of justice. And he's done a perfect work in us, for we are a new race of men and women. And the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession for us. In Romans chapter 8, listen to this verse. Romans 8, verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? This who shall lay anything is literally who shall call in question anything about God's elect. The it is in italics. The word that should be there is, shall God who justifieth? Most Christians never realize that they are sons and daughters of God's love. Look at this record. If we're born again, who's going to lay anything? Who's going to call God in question regarding anything that he did for us of God's elect? Shall God, who justified us, call it in question? No, he's the one who did it. Our minds can begin to be renewed only as we practice the living truth of the Word. The word has to become as real or more real to you than the word of any human being or the word of your banker or the word of an attorney or lawyer or governor or anyone else. The word has to become a living reality and truth for you. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. When? Now. You see, it has to just be truth for you. The word is always personal, people. It is addressed to us in the church epistles and the pastoral epistles that I mentioned when I opened tonight. And being addressed to us, that word addressed to us is literally a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. So we study the word and live it. If you do not study the word and live it, you're going to be a spiritual cripple. You may be born again, but you're spiritually crippled because you do not know the word. And then we have to adjust our life to the word and quit just being a talker. We have to be doers of the word. In James chapter 1, listen to this record. It's very applicable to the church of the body of believers. Verse 22, be ye doers of the word, and what? Not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The word deceiving is cheating yourself. You never want to cheat yourself. That's why we want to be doers of the word and us not hearers of it. If we just get itchy earballs for someone to teach us the word and hear it, and then not live it, not do it, we're cheating ourselves. And the one person you never want to cheat is yourself, that's for sure. You see, the Word of God is the will of God. The Scriptures are the Word of truth. But we only have the true Word in the proportion and to the degree and extent that we rightly divide it. Remember that record in 2 Timothy is a 2:15 study to do what? Unto whom? As a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Most Christian people read and believe the words of the world rather than the word from heaven. It is believing of the truth of the word that gives reality to your confession. And your confession gives boldness to your believing. It is the word that establishes. It is the word that builds. You have to count upon God and His Word above your abilities, weaknesses, or circumstances. You have to count on God rather than to lean on the arm of flesh. And to lean on what the world says is to lean on the arm of flesh. Proverbs says this, lean not to your own understanding, do not lean on the arm of flesh. Proverbs 3:5. Born again Christians, people who have not succeeded, the reason for that is because they haven't spoken the word. And the reason they haven't spoken the word is because they didn't live the word. Now the Scriptures, the Word of Truth, is a pure Word. I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Look at verse 6. The words of the Lord are what? As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 what? Right. The words of the Lord, what does verse 6 say? Are what words? So if we can get back to the words of the Lord, those words will always be what kind of words? Pure. Right. The words of the Lord, the scriptures, are pure words. And they're purified how many times, does it say? 7 times. Biblically, 7 is the number of perfection. Completeness, fullness, good. With nothing to be added to it or taken away from it without marring it. In Genesis, the 7th day God did what? Rested from all the work of creation because it was perfect. The Sabbath or the 7th day of the week is to be a day of rest. It is interesting that the number 7 completes the colors of the spectrum and the rainbow, and in music, the notes on the scale. Now the Lord uses in the scriptures words pertaining to this world, but they're purified to perfection. Silver, to be pure silver, has to be refined 7 times. So words that are used in the Word have to be perfectly purified before they can be used as the words of the Lord. That's why the words of the Scriptures are pure words. They're not angelic words. It's not, though I speak with the tongue of angels. They're not angelic words, but they are pure words. Do you understand? All the words in the scriptures are human words that are used by men on, or have been used by men on this earth. Therefore, God had to perfectly purify those words in the usage of the scriptures or of the word. As silver is purified in a furnace. Before God could use those words in the scriptures. The accurate translation of Psalm 12, 6 is as follows, because they missed an ellipsis in here, an omission. Ellipsis is a figure of speech, meaning there was a deliberate omission. And they missed that in translation, that omission. They missed it in here in the King James Version. The Authorized Version missed it. And 6 or 7 of the other versions that I've checked all missed it. But I'll show it to you and it'll be real simple to you. It should be translated as follows. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. As silver tried in a furnace. Then, words pertaining to the earth. Words pertaining to the earth. Purified 7 times. That's the literal accuracy of Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace. Words pertaining to the earth. The ellipsis is words. Words pertaining to the earth, that are purified how many times? That's right. How beautiful the scriptures are when you work them to see these wonderful words and how God elevated them and uses them and how he purified them. Some words that people used in their vocabulary in that day and time when the scriptures were originally written, God never uses in his word. But those that are used, he purified them and elevated them, lifted them up like silver tried in a furnace, burned in a furnace, purified seven times so that it's perfectly, perfectly pure. That's this word of truth. And to know the word of truth and to hold it as the true word in your life is going to indicate the footprints of your confession, which is manifested in the action in your life. Because action is the fruit of thought. What a man does is really what he thinks. Proverbs says, as a man, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his what? So he is. See it? As a man thinketh. And that great one in Philippians, we got to read that one completely again. Philippians. I can quote it to you, but it'd be best if you read it too, then you know it's written in here. The last few words of verse 8, think on these what? Right. Well, what are we to think on? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. So in 1984, we should think more word, live more word, as God's wonderful sons and daughters. We are controlled by our thinking. We do not go any further in 84 than we think we're going to go. And our thinking is conditioned by what we're taught. And you cannot believe any bigger than what you're taught. The scriptures are absolutely pure words. That is not true of any other writer, Shakespeare, Chaucer, anyone else, V.P. Weirwill, it's not true. But the scriptures, God himself supervised, and holy men of God spake as they were moved, and God had the words purified like silver seven times so they were perfectly pure. So when he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, that's pure word. And that means that we are sons of God when? Now. And then as sons of God, we ought to act like it. That's what this word of truth is telling us. For most people, the word of God is never real. It's just words. Like the worldly people use words. But for those of us who know the secret of the power for abundant living and the more abundant life, the words of the word have a specific purpose wherever they're used. And this is the word of truth. And we have the true word to the end and in the proportion that we rightly divide it. And that is another reason why I'm so excited this week about sharing the chronology of the life of Jesus Christ with the handful or body of people present in Nashville. You can't ever go any further than what you're taught. And we'll only have the word of truth in the true word in the proportion we rightly divide it. And nobody has ever put a harmony of the gospel together that's worth looking at. One of the reasons is that which is similar, they made identical. And you and I know if it's identical, it has to be identical. If there's one variation, it cannot be what? See, the greatness of our ministry resides in our position, believing in the integrity and accuracy of the word, and thus saith the Lord, and that the word of God's the will of God. It is the word of truth. And there certainly are men and women all over the world who in their hearts long for that word of truth. Now all we have to do is live it, act it, speak it. It is God that has to give the increase. And these words God has purified. If we had the original originals, there would be no reason for our research department. But one of the great reasons for our research department is that we have to constantly keep working manuscripts and stuff to get back to that original word. For in the original word of the word, there were no discrepancies, there was no discrepancy, no contradiction, and that particular word was purified to perfection 7 times. And what a wonderful thing it is, people, to have something you can trust in life, something you can believe in, something you can stake your life on. That it's just as true tomorrow as it is today. It'll be just as true on January the 1st, 85, that it is January the 1st, 84. It's the word of what? Truth. Men come and go and men blow, but the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And it's true. And to be a part of such a ministry that endeavors to love people and share with them the truth of the word. Now, sometimes people violently react at first, but that doesn't bother me. Because if you speak the truth in love, that's all you're required to do. And we in the ministry speak the truth to the best of our ability with love. We don't force anything down anybody's throat. We don't even try to change anybody. We just teach the word. And if they believe the word, the change comes. If they don't, well, it's their problem. So it's a tremendous year and a tremendous ministry. And I'd just like for you to be grateful and thankful in your heart for the greatness of this word of truth, that it is available to people all over the world, and that you and I are a part of helping people every place in the world. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to teach your people tonight about this word of truth on this opening Sunday of 1984. And I thank you for our people being doers of the word and not hearers only. Thank you for the greatness of it through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.